The scripture reading today comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 19. Dear friends, let's love each other because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God because God is love. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only Son into the world so that we can live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we also ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. If we love each other, God remains in us and his love is made perfect in us. This is how we know we remain in him and he remains in us, because he has given us a measure of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If any of us confess that Jesus is God's Son, God remains in us and we remain in God. We have known and have believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. This is how love has been perfected in us, so that we can have confidence on the judgment day, because we are exactly the same as God is in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear expects punishment. The person who is afraid has not been made perfect in love. And we love because God first loved us.
Please join me in prayer. God, our great Creator, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So throughout lived human experience in this world, thousands and thousands of people and communities throughout the history of humanity have their own stories of faith, of belief, religiosity, spiritual connection, and the times that they may have experienced those systems of belief to be torn out from under them. So destabilized by the broader events of the world, like war or genocide or natural disasters with immeasurable and devastating consequences. Or this loss of belief has occurred because something in their personal lives, the loss of a loved one, unexpectedly or suddenly, or news of a heartbreaking diagnosis that changes how they understand themselves in the world, and in relation to the ways that they had imagined their lives to go. And there's a strong possibility, given the human condition, that I have just described something that any number of you may have experienced or encountered during your lives. I know I've explained my own in that statement. But people throughout generations of human life may have faced these challenges, personal and public, that upend their whole understanding of how they fit in the world and where they belong, with periods of questioning or doubting who God is, where God is, or if God even exists. But it doesn't always require something upending your sense of understanding the world either. Sometimes it can just feel like God has gone silent or created distance with you. And despite what some loud voices, particularly in the American Christian sphere, might say, experiencing those periods of questioning or doubting God is a very natural part of the human experience. From the earliest part of human history, the way that we approach those documented encounters, at least, the story of God's people has included stories of people asking questions about who God is, where God is, why God is, and that is seen across so many of the ancient texts and fragments that we have been able to find and comprehend. And it is a theme that we can see in our own religious tradition through the Hebrew Scriptures and throughout the New Testament. People seeking and asking questions about God in the face of suffering, in the face of life, across cultures, places, and disciplines. And across all of that searching and seeking, if there was one clear and resounding answer about who God is, I suspect we would probably all believe the same thing. And while we may not get one singular answer to the question of who God is and what God is like, Scripture does reveal to us time and time again those essential characteristics of how God has revealed herself to us through the world, through Scripture, through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through ritual, through one another, through our neighbors. This epistle, this letter, 1 John, the first letter of the Apostle John, points out something that feels maybe a little bit obvious. No one has ever seen God, which is maybe its own exaggeration, right? We know that there are a number of stories throughout the Hebrew Scriptures of those ancient stories of Hagar and Jacob and Adam and Eve having encounters with God. But the statement itself, the claim of the apostle, leads us into this connection between knowing and experiencing love, and therefore knowing and experiencing God. This letter says, God is love, and therefore the fact that we love means that we are born of God and that we know God. But how do we know that love is of God and not just something that we experience and encounter as human emotion? How does our experience of love connect us to a transcendent and divine source of love? The Apostle John writes, "This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only Son into the world so that we can live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son." Of course, it is possible to love without believing in Jesus or even ever hearing the message that Jesus is God's Son. But what we know is that with Jesus, something new and transformative happened. The invitation into a new way of being human and a new way of community that is characterized by love, something much deeper than an emotion. Much like we can't prove God's existence, we can't prove that Jesus is God's Son. But after Jesus' death on the cross, there is very clear documentation of communities changing. It is a historical fact that a new community of people started, and these people lived differently and claimed to experience release from repressive powers and systems of law. They were a community born of love and also characterized by it. And this community itself, the early church, people of the way, described the something that happened as the resurrection of Jesus. This new community and this new way of being human is rooted in the experience of the reality and the character of a loving God who is revealed in Jesus. And we, as this church, as this community, are a part of that direct legacy. We are a part of that different way of believing and different way of being human that continues to this day. The church's continued existence and our participation in it, most especially our loving and being loved, are evidence of God's existence. God, who was revealed in Jesus, is still present now with us by the Spirit who continues this transformative action in and by love. And being rooted in this love does not mean that the church always gets it right. There are plenty of people who have stories of having been hurt by the church or by the people who claim to be followers of Christ that have experienced the hypocrisy of people. But as people who claim to be followers of Christ, we then have a responsibility to live into that experience of transformation, to be the evidence of God's existence. There are certain steps that we take as a community to live into that transformative love, the ways that we show up and we support the needs of our community, particularly around access to food and to weather-appropriate clothing. But if we reflect on our own lives, the question becomes, where are those places, those relationships, those encounters that you have experienced that deep and transformative love that has made you feel connected to God? There is so much in this world that can make us feel jaded and cynical and angry. And so in the face of that, what does it look like to root ourselves in that deep transformational love of God that we have known and we have experienced through Jesus? To choose as our dwelling place, love. It is okay and really quite a good thing to have questions about who God is and if God exists and how God fits into this big picture of being in the earth and in creation. I promise God is big enough to handle our doubts and our questions. And if we're not asking questions, then we're not thinking deeply about what it means to be a follower of Christ. We're not accessing the fullness of what transformation is available to us in this relationship with the divine. So what then might it look like if we let our wondering drive us into deeper experiences and expressions of love, and we look for God there? Amen.